Today, Shir's Masech Babakam, Daf Lama Gimel. We will begin on Daf Lama Gimel, Amud Aleph, at the second line, Rezvid, Mishmei, Derava, Masn, Laha. In our previous Shir, the Gemara had brought the opinion of Rav Yossi Bar Chanina. Rav Yossi Bar Chanina had introduced that, as we know, the Torah HaKadosh tells us that if somebody kills somebody, B'shoigig, under certain circumstances, that individual goes to Golus. And our Gemara, Rav Yosef Bechadina said, there is a situation where somebody ostensibly killed somebody, B'shoigig, but they wouldn't go to Golus. He introduced a concept of Shoigig Karav Lemezid. Sometimes what happened is a Shoigig, actually, but it's very Karav Lemezid. It's very similar to Mezid. And that's why the person who perpetrated the murder will not go to Golus, says the Gemara. And the Gemara gave different situations, which the Gemara suggested would be the place where Rabbi Yossi Aglili says the person doesn't go to Golus. Says the Gemara, Razvid Mishmei Derava Masnalai, he taught us that Rabbi Yossi Aglili's halacha of not going to Golus, aha, refers to the following situation, which the Pasuk says, regarding somebody, as who we just discussed, killed somebody b'shoigig. The Pasuk says, v'noshal habazam and ha'eitz, u'motzes re'eyu u'meis. Says the Gemara, u'motzah, what did we learn from the word u'motzah? Prat l'mamtzias atzmai. That the person who killed b'shoigig is only chayiv golus when the person was there when the person was there from before, says the Gemara, Mikana Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Based on this, does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov teach us? Mishiyotza ever betachas yodai. If somebody threw a stone to a place where there are people, and however, at the moment that he threw the stone, there was no one there. And after this person threw the stone, for Haitzi Halas Raisha, then, and only then did this person stick out his head, the kibla, and unfortunately the stone hit his head. Under such circumstances, potter, the person who gets hit by the stone, will be potter. The person who threw that stone will be potter. So Tosfos asks that actually this is a concept that we've already learned in our Masechta. We learned in our Masechta that if somebody threw a Kaylee out of the window to a place where there were Karen Vakastas, where there were pillows. And therefore, the place where I threw the Kaylee to, nothing's going to happen to the Kaylee. It's going to land on pillows and on blankets. Nothing will happen. And then afterwards, somebody took them away. I can't be held responsible because when I did this, I didn't do anything wrong. So why is this any different than the person who threw the stone to this place when there's nobody there? Of course, there's no reason to hold him responsible. So Tosfos answers that one could differentiate because there's no reason to assume that those pillows and blankets that are there will be removed. However, if you throw a stone, as we're just learning, into a place where there are people, then that's something that you should be concerned will do damage, and because people do frequent themselves there. Another pshat, he says, that when somebody throws a stone, the act of throwing a stone is an act of hezek, is an act of damage. You're lucky that there was nobody there, and because nobody was there, no one got hurt. But it certainly cannot be considered. It certainly cannot be considered something that is acceptable to be done. You should be concerned what's going to happen. However, when you throw a keli, the actual act of throwing a keli is not necessarily going to break the keli. Certainly, under many circumstances, and therefore the two situations cannot be compared, and why over there the Gemara spoke about somebody being chayiv and somebody not being chayiv. Tosfos goes on to say that what we also have to look at this is as something, a concept that we've also discussed many times, that there's a difference between Hez Ruach She'en Metsuya and Ruach Metsuya. So what Tosfos means to say is that throwing a, just like in the halacha is always concerned about a Ruach Metsuya if what you did is likely to cause damage. So he says, but if a Ruach She'en Metsuya, you don't have to be concerned. In the case of the stone, it's considered a Ruach Metsuya. And since it's a Ruach Metsuya, that's why Taisha says it's different. Rabbeinu Yishaya, however, finds difficulty with Taisha's teretz. He says that if somebody threw, we learned that if somebody threw a vessel off the roof, even to a place with a blankets and pillows, even if that person went and removed the pillows, which caused the vessels to break ultimately, he's still not going to be chayiv. Now the vessel will break. So as we've learned, because that's considered a ruach, that's considered a grumma. And since it's considered a grumma, that's why you're potter. So the Rabbeinu Yishaya asks, throwing the vessel and removing the pillows should be no different than our Gemara. It should be considered a Ruach Metsuya. So, says the Chazon Ish, the removal of the pillow is an Aveira, because removing the pillow is something that will cause the vessel to break. Therefore, since it's not some, we don't anticipate that people will do Averis, that's why it's not considered a Ruach Metsuya. Says the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yosef Chanina, so this person who threw the stone when there was nobody there, and then somebody ends up being there, is Potter Migolus, v'ischai ba'arba dvarim, nezek tzar, ripu in sheves, that a person is chai for when he does damage. Says the Gemara, man de masnoha, now the Gemara continues with the same approach it did at the end of our previous year. Somebody says that in this case, that Rabbi Yossi is going to say that he's potter from Golspi's Chayv Abed Varim, Koshkein Al Kamaisa. Certainly, in the case where somebody entered a store and into a carpenter store and a piece of wood flow, in that case, that since he saw him enter, so certainly he should be Chayiv Potter and Golus, Shogi Karvel Meza, and Chayiv Abed Varim. Mada Masla Kamaisa, however, the one that says in the previous cases that he's going to be potter from Golus, b'chayiv arba dvarim, aval aha, in this case, it was an oinus. He threw the stone in a place where there was no reason to believe that there's going to be a problem, and therefore, in this case, the Gemara suggests potter l'gamri, he'll be completely exempt. Tana Rabbanim, pa'alim shabar l'tfas choron. Workers come for their salary. Min balabais from their employer. The nakhon sharish balabais, and they come into the property of this balabais, of this employer, and this and his animal does damage to them. The nakhon sharish balabais, or the nashkon kalbish balabais, they were bit by the dog of the employer, umesu, and because of that, they died, potter. We know that if somebody's animal kills somebody, he has to pay koifer, the value, a posh pshat, the value of the victim. Here, there won't be a chiv koifer. A cherim maimrim, others, the cherim of the opinion is, the rishayim payalim letovin tzchorim balabais, that they had a right to go, and therefore, of course, this animal will be held responsible. So ask the Gemara, hechidami, exactly let's understand the situation that the Breiser refers to. If this employer is frequently in town, why would the Acherim say that the employees may go to his home? they'll see him at the job, and there won't be any problem, and that's what they could ask for the salary. The bias, if this employer only remains at home, so then my time of the Tanakama. Why would the Tanakama be lenient? They're entitled to a salary, and this is the only place where they can find their employer. Answers the Gemara, Tzricha, Begavra de Shchiach, V'loy Shchiach. The person is sometimes at the job, at the office, or wherever they work, but not that much. The Karya Baba, and because the employees can't really find their employer often at their place of work, and they came to where he works for, and they knocked on the door, Vamlay in, and his response was yes. Says the Gemara, this is the machlokes. Masov, the Achim's opinion is that when they were told in, what it means is ul to mashma. It means come in. So therefore they had every right to come in. And if therefore the animal of this employer did damage to them, he would be chayiv. Masov in means kum aduchtach mashma, that stay outside, not come in. So the Rishonim point out, if the machloikis here is what does the word in mean, so what's the difference if this is an employer who's sometimes in town and sometimes not in town? The issue in the Gemara is what does the word in mean? So Tosfos says that, of course, under normal circumstances, the word in does not mean to come in. However, we have to put into consideration the fact that he's not there. And the fact that he's not normally in town, even though that could have a direct bearing on how to understand the word din. Tanya says the Gemara, there's a braisa that actually supports the opinion. Tikanya, the commander, Omer, in kumadach the mashma, that the word in means don't come in. The Tanya, Poyel shenichnas litfoy yischoyim balabayis, an employee that comes to ask for his salary. V'nachashar shem balabayis, a nashka kalboy, he was attacked by the owner's axe or dog. Potter, he doesn't pay kaifel. V'api shenichnas rishos, even though he had a right to go in. But ask the Gemara, if he had a right to enter, so then am I potter? Why would this employer be exempt? He let him come in, and if you let somebody come into your property, you have to make sure it's safe to come in. Elav, must we not be explaining exactly the way the Gemara just finished explaining, that the Karya Baba, the employee knocked at the door, what the owner said, Vamalei in, come in, yes, and the Gemara is teaching us that what in means, in kumadachtach mashma, it means stay outdoors, don't come in, I'll come to you. And therefore, the employee had no right to come in. And if he went in, it's at his own risk. Says the Mishnah, Shnei Shvarim Tamim, we have two animals that are tam, that we know that the halacha is that if a tam does keren, he pays chatzi nezek, and two tamim attach each other, the halacha is Mishalmim b'moiser der nezek sholim, chatzin nezek. Then the halacha will be that they pay chatzin nezek. That means if one animal did damage to the other animal at a value of 100 dinarim, and the other one did damage to the cost of 50 dinarim, we have to look at the first animal having been damaged by 50 dinarim, half of 100. And which will be a total, chatzi nezek, will be a total of 25. We also, the Rosh says, part of what the Mishnah is teaching us, is that we don't say that there must have always been one animal that started up before the other animal started up. And therefore, since there's one animal that did the damage before the other animal, that animal should be held responsible. When we see two animals fighting, we assume that they're both equally responsible. Before we go further in the Mishnah, there's a very important shaila that, of course, has to be discussed. And that is that if somebody enters into someone's home where somebody has a yard, that people are constantly walking through that yard, and the person who owns that property is upset that people are constantly walking through his property, and he put up sign, private property, do not trespass, and it hasn't worked. So he had no choice. What he did was he bought a dog, and he had the dog tied by chains to prevent him from doing damage. However, there was somebody who walked into that property, which again, he really shouldn't have walked into that property, and he wasn't careful to stay away from the dog, and he got bitten by that dog. What is the halacha? So the halacha is that the person who owns the dog will not be held responsible, because as we're learning now, if you have no right to enter into somebody's property, if you enter that property, you cannot afterwards make a claim, well, I entered the property, I should not be, you have no right to have your animal do damage to me. Says the Mishnah further, Shneim Mo'adim, if you have two animals that are Mo'adim, so then the halacha is, Mishalmim B'maisin Ezek Sholim. The halacha is that these animals were established to be a mu'ad. The halacha is we pay the entire difference. Going back to the example that we just learned, that if one, the damage was 100 and one was 50, you have to pay 50. Echa tam v'echa mu'ad. If one of the animals was a tam and one of the animals was a mu'ad. Mu'ad, if it was the mu'ad that did damage to the tam, so then the halacha is, Mishal b'moysa nezek sholim, that the damage that's paid is nezek sholim. If it was the tam that did damage in the mu'ad, Mishal b'moysa chatzi nezek. Says the Mishnah further, V'ken shnei anoshim shechavu zu b'zu. If you have two people that got into an altercation, there the halacha is, Mishal nezek sholim, the halacha is that we pay, the perpetrator pays, we make the cheshbon, we pay nezek sholem. However, the Rosh makes a very interesting point. He says that although we said a moment ago that the halacha takes into consideration when two animals do damage to each other, that who was the one that started, if we see that these two animals got into a altercation, then they're both considered mazikim. Says the Rosh, that's only by animals. Because the fact that we saw that one animal began, it doesn't mean that the other animal was completely innocent. However, says the Rosh, in the case, and animals are more likely to do damage. I think that's part of what the Rosh means to say. However, when we speak about human beings are not supposed to start up with each other. And certainly, says the Rosh, in a situation where one person started up with another person, the person who started up will be held completely responsible. The case of the Mishnah is only a case, says the Rosh, where they began fighting simultaneously. Continues the Mishnah, Adam b'mu'ad, a mu'ad ba'adam, if a person does damage to an animal which is a mu'ad, or a mu'ad does damage to a person, the halacha is, mishalim b'maisa nezek sholim. However, says the Mishnah, if adam b'tam, if a person does damage to a tam, or vice versa, a tam does damage to an adam, there the halacha is, mishalim b'maisa nezek sholim. A person always pay this distinction that we differentiate between a mu'ad and a tam doesn't apply by human beings. And a human being always pays nezek sholem. However, tam ba'adam, it was the tam that did damage to an adam, did halacha will be misham b'maisa chatzi nezek. However, rekiva oimer, af tam shechal ba'adam, even a tam that does damage in an adam, the halacha is mishalim b'maisa nezek sholem, the halacha is that you pay nezek shalim. The special leniency that a tam doesn't pays only chatzin nezek, that is not by a human, not when it did damage to a human being. Says the Shita Mekubetzis in explaining Rabbi Kiva's opinion. A very important concept that we keep on repeating when we speak about tam, and that a tam pays chatzin nezek, is because it's mishuna, it's unusual. But here, there's a different factor to take into consideration. He says, animals normally do not hurt human beings. And if you find an animal that hurt a human being, it's considered that the animal was really a mazik. And therefore, it won't have the dispensation of paying chatzin nezek. Tana Rabbanan. The Torah speaks about an animal who did damage to a person. The pasuk says, says the Gemara, "Kemishpat shar b'shar." We treat it when an animal hurts a person. We treat it like when an animal attacks another animal. Ma mishpat kach mishpat shar ba'adam. Ma shar, just like we know when an animal attacks, there's a difference. Tam mishalim chatzin nezek, and a mood pays nezek shalim. Af shar ba'adam. So to an animal attacks a person, the loch will be tam shalom chatzi nezek, and mood pays nezek shalom. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva, who as we just learned in the Mishnah, disagrees with this. He says that the Torah, when it speaks about an animal attacking a person, kemishpat hazeh uses the words kemishpat hazeh, kemishpat tachten. It's treated like a shor mood who attacks, v'loy ke'elyon, not like the tam which attacks. In other words, this pasuk about an animal attacking a person is juxtaposed between a pasuk that's above, pasuk that's after it, the pasuk of a muad, and the pasuk above it is about a shar tam. Says Rabbi Kiva, we compare an animal that attacks a person to a muad, and not to a tam. Yochel, continues Rabbi Kiva, one of the other halachas that, of course, to differentiate a tam from a mu'ud is one halach is that a tam pays chatzi nezek and a mu'ud pays nezek shalim. And the other halach is that a tam pays megufoy. The payment is capped at the value of the attacking animal. A mu'ud pays menaliya, whatever the damage was. So says the Braisa, Yochel Mishalim and Aliyah, that Rabbi Kiva says that when a tam attacks a person, you pay nezek shalim. The halacha should be that it pays it. The halacha megufa doesn't apply. You pay whatever the damage was. Tam aloyma yaasa loy. And from the word loy, we learn megufa mishalim, that you still only pay megufa, even though if it's a tam that attacked the person. The ain't a mishalim and aliyah, you don't pay for an aliyah. Rabbanon. There are Rabbanon who disagree, and they say that the tam that attacks a person, the halacha is, you always pay chatzin nezek. Ask the Gemara, zeh lamali, what do they learn from the word zeh? Says the Gemara, lepatre me'arba devarim, that we know when a person attacks somebody, you have to pay nezek tzar, ripi, shevis, and baishis. To tell us, an animal is never obligated to pay nezek tzar, ripi, or baishis. Ask the Gemara, Rakiva, Lepaitre Abba Devarim Menalei, where will Rabbi Kiva know this halacha from? Answers the Gemara, Nafgalei min ish ki yite mum b'misoi. The halacha is ish b'misoi. Only when a person hurts, damages somebody else, is there a chiva Abba Devarim, v'lo shah b'misoi. Rabbanon, so ask the Gemara, so the Rabbanon who used the word zeh to teach us this, why can't they learn this halacha from the same way Rabbi Kiva learned this halacha? Answers the Gemara, Imahi, if we only had that pasuk, I would say, Havamina tsar luchudei, that when an animal damages a person, attacks a person, the only exemption is from tsar. However, why would we be most lenient by tsar? Explain the Rishonim. Because tsar, which represents the pain the victim suffered, isn't something that is a financial loss. It's, of course, uncomfortable to be in pain, but it doesn't represent a financial loss. Avil ripi v'sheves, paying for doctor bills, paying for unemployment. So that represents a financial loss to the victim. Maybe a malitinle, that even if it was the animal that attacked, there should be an obligation to pay those payments. That's why we have to have a special pasuk to say that they don't pay anything. There's a very interesting question that Rabbi Chanan discusses. We've learned previously in our Masechta that a tam pays chatzi nezek, and the Gemara quoted a machlokes: is that payment viewed as knas, or is that payment viewed as mammon? So the question is, here we're learning in our shir that Rabbi Kiva holds that a tam that attacks a person pays nezek shalim. But now the question is, when we say a tam pays chatzi nezek, and we paskind that that means it's a knas, and as we learned, the fact that it's a knas is very relevant, because the halach is that knas, there's halach of moide knas potter. If somebody is moide what he did, then you don't have to pay the knas. So now, what's going to be the halach here? You're paying nezek shalim. So is the fact that you're paying nezek shalim an indication that it's a mammon, and there wouldn't be the halacha of moide b'knas when a tam attacks a person? On the other hand, an argument can be made based on what we just learned in our Gemara, that even though Rabbi Kiva is saying that you pay nezek shalim, you only pay migufoy. So if it was mammon, then you would have to pay even ma'aliyah. So how does Rabbi Kiva look at this? So Rabbi Chanan says that even though Rabbi Kiva is teaching us in our Gemara that a tam who attacked a person, pays nezek shalom, but just like the Gemara taught us, it doesn't pay it migufa, it doesn't pay it me'aliyah, it only pays a migufay. That clearly, says Rabbi Chanan Zatzal, the Kovetz Biurim, is a raya that this is only a knas, and if the person, the owner of this animal, will admit, it will be considered a case of moedim knas, that is potter. Says the Mishnah. Shor shavim mona. If you have an animal that's worth 100 dinrim, shenagach shor shavim misayim, that attacked an animal that's worth 200 and it killed it. Then an nevela yofa kol, and the animal, the nevela, is worthless. So that means the total damage was 200 dinrim. So the halach is noitel es hashor. What the halach was, the nizik will take the shor, because he's entitled to chatzi nezek. The chatzi nezek is worth 100 dinar. The value of the attacking animal is 100 dinar. That's what he's going to take. Says the Gemara, Masnisa Mani, who opinion does our Mishnah represent? That the nizik just takes the entire animal in payment for the chatzi nezek that he's entitled to? Says the Gemara, the Mishnah represents the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, the Tanya. Says the Gemara, we have a machloikis in the Braisa about such a situation. One opinion is Rabbi Yushim Ashor Bebezdin Diver Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says the Bezdin assesses the value of the Shor Mazik, and if that is the value, if the animal is equal to what is obligated, then that's the amount that the mazik has to pay. But he can't take just the animal. Kivoimer, hukhler ashor, that the animal that did the damage, if it's equal to what's owed to the nizik, the nizik just takes the whole animal. Says the Gemara, my pligi, what is the basis of their machloikis? Says the Gemara, Shmuel Sover, Gibal Chayfu, the mazik owes the nizik money for the damage that his animal did. V'zuzehu, the masigle. It's a financial obligation. Kivasover shutvinenu. The Torah makes the mazik and the nizik partners in this animal. After the mazik did this damage, they become partners in this animal. says the Gemara, the Kamifgi Bahai Kro. And really the basis of the Machlaikis is on in the understanding of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Umachris Shara Chai, the Chitus Kispai. The Torah is speaking obviously here about the attacking animal. The Torah is speaking to the Bezdin, who's supposed to bring order here, and says, sell the attacking animal that you should be able to pay if the Mazik has no other way to pay the Nizik what he is owed. Kivasava, the Nizik or Mazik Mazar Rahmana. The Torah is speaking to both of them. And the Torah is telling both of them together, you now are the owners of the animal that did the damage. So asking Ramai Benayu, what is the nafkamina? Says the Mara, Higdisha Nizik Ikibinayu. What would be the halacha if the Nizik was magdish this animal? So of course, the halacha is that you can't be magdish something that's not yours. So if we're going to learn like Rabbi Shmuel, that the Mazik owes the Nizik money, but it's not like the Nizik has any ownership rights in this animal, so he can't be Magdish this animal. But if we're going to learn that the Nizik becomes an owner in the animal, so then he can be Magdish it. Of course, the Rishonim, Taisus, the Rimaskal Ikka, make a very interesting point. Even if the Nizik becomes an owner in the Mazik, the halacha is that you ought to have Hamada Bedin. You need Bezdin to paskin that he became a partner. So why, if he was Magdish this animal prior to Hamada Bedin, would it be a valid Hegdish? So Taisus suggests that that's a special halacha in this knas, that as soon as the damage takes place, even though they didn't go to Bezdin yet, the halacha is that he could be magdishit. Rekiva Eger had a disagreement with his son, Rav Shlomo Eger, regarding something that the Shita quotes the Rosh, who quotes the Ramah. Why would the Nizik be able to be Magdish? The animal, even will take out the factor that the animal is not, we didn't have a Hamadah Bedin, but the animal isn't yet in the Rishus HaNizik. And the halach is that you can't be Magdish something that's not in your possession. So why would the Nizik be able to be Magdishit? So the Ramah says, and this gives us a whole new understanding in the concept that we've just been studying. And the Ramah says, it's not that the Nizik could be Magdish and that the Hegdish would be effective immediately after the damage was done. If he was Magdish after this event, and then they go to Bezdin, and Bezdin says, you, the Nizik, are a partner, retroactively, the fact that he was Magdishit, it would be considered valid. So there's Machloikis, how to understand what Ramah means. Rav Shlomo Eger understood the Ramah very simply, that the Hegdish is going to be Hegdish retroactively. The Rekiv Eger actually says that what Ramah means to say, which is very relevant to what we're discussing in our shiur today, is that actually, even though the Nizik has right to be Magdishit, the halacha is that he can only be Magdishit when it's after Hamad Bedin. And that's what he means to say, but the actual Hegdish cannot be Chal earlier. Barmina, Rav Ram Nachman, Machra Mazik, if after this damage took place, before the Nizik got the animal, the Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Shmuel, and the Mazik sold off the animal, Mahu, what would be the halacha regarding that Mechira, selling? Do we say, Kivin Dam Rabbi Shmuel, Baal Chayv Hu, that he's only about chayiv. Vezuzah de maskloi. It's just that he owes money. So if somebody owes money, that doesn't prevent them from selling assets. And therefore, machor would be a valid sale. Adilma, or perhaps an argument can be made, the kivin of Shabbalei l'nizik, since even according to Rishmol, the mazik owes the nizik to pay for the damages, laf kol kamenei, he has no right to sell off this animal. Amalei Yisrael of Nachman said, ain't a machor. He has no right to sell it. Ask the Gemara Vatanya, but haven't we learned a different brisa that says machor, that he does have a right to sell it? Says the Gemara, chayzev gaveyu. What it means is that he has a right to sell it, but the nizik now could turn around to the person who bought this animal and collect it back. Ask the Gemara, if he has a right to take it back, lama machor, why should he be allowed to sell it? Answers the Gemara, Larija. That means if the person who bought it from the mazik used it for plowing till the nizik collects it, the nizik has no right to come and collect for any work that this person did with this animal. Shmamina. So ask the Gemara, but this seems to be teaching us a new halacha. The loyva moich metatlin bezdin goyver loy mehem. The Gemara's question is as follows: we've often discussed that if somebody owes money to someone else and he sells off property, the halacha treats that sale as the halacha looks at those properties as if they're mortgaged to the loan, and if the person who sold the property, the loyva who sold the property, has no other way of paying off the loan, the malva has a right to take those property because those properties have a prior lien to the law for the amount that's owed. But we always learn that when is that applicable? That's applicable on property. Because we always explain, and that's very much part of what the Gemara here will be explaining, that when somebody buys property, that there is a mortgage on, that there is a lien on, he's aware of that. And he bought that property knowing with that risk that he may end up having to have to pay, lose it because of the prior lien. But not by metatlin, because metatlin don't have that kol. So ask the Gemara, here we're talking that the person sold a shor. He didn't sell real estate. And yet the Gemara is saying that he's going to be held, that the nizik could collect the shor. Answers the Gemara, Shani Hassam, the commander also apoytiki dami. Gemara often speaks about an apoytiki. Apoytiki means apoytiki, koi, where a person designated payment from a certain asset. That's what this animal is. Ask the Gemara of Amarava, also of the apoytiki, if somebody, if a loiva designated his evid, Kanani, to be an apoytiki, and then he sold it to Machra, Bachayv Gavimenu. Then indeed, since he was identified as an apoytiki, even though it's not karka, the malva could collect from it. However, the Brisa Rava taught us, Shoyra apoytiki, if you made your animal into an apoytiki, and then you sold it, ain't Bachayv Gavimenu. So here we're speaking about a shor, asked the Gemara. Answers the Gemara. Evid Maitama. Why does Rava differentiate between an Eved and a Shor? Eved Maitama, that the Malva could collect the Eved. Mishum Disle Kola. Everybody knows when somebody makes his Eved into an Apoytiki. Hai Nami. This isn't your usual case. This animal attacked another animal. So Kola Isle. It comes with a Kol. And the person who bought the animal knows the Torah Nachana Korolei, that this is the animal that did that attack. And therefore, he knew that this animal is mortgaged to the Nizik. And when he bought it taking the risk that the Nizik may take it back. Tanarav Techlifa Bamarova Kameid Ravua. Machroi, if the Mazik sold the animal, it would be a Machro. It won't be a valid sale. Again, Machroi, before we... The Gemara will explain everything. Machra ain't a machra, gdish and mugdish. Ask the Gemara Machra man exactly who was the one that sold it. Ilema, net mazik. If we'll say it was the mazik that sold it, and the reason Machra ain't a Machr, and it's not a valid sale, because Mani Rabbi Kiva, because this price is following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, Dama Huchler Ashor, that after the Shor does the attack, it becomes the property of the Nizik, and that's why the mazik had no right to sell it. Hegdisha Mugdush, but when it says Hegdisha, it's Mugdush, Asna Rabbi Shmuel, that Amayushma Shabbat Bezdin, that until Bezdin says that you have to pay, it's not the Niziks. So how do we reconcile? The first word seems to be following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, and the second word seems to be following the words of Rabbi Shmuel, the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Says the Gemara al Nizik. We're speaking about that was the Nizik that was Magdashit. And now we could understand Machre and Machre, why is the sale not a valid sale? Because it's following the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. It's not the Niziks. However, Egdisha Mugdush, because we're following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. So, of course, that's a very difficult approach, because you can't have one sentence, one phrase, half of the phrase going according to one Tana, and the other half of the phrase going according to another Tana. Says the Gemara Lo'ila Mazik. We're going to have to explain that the Brisa is following the opinion of the Brisa is speaking about the Mazik, and the Diri Hakol. And it could also follow the opinion, everybody's opinion. Machra and Machra, I feel Rabbi Shmuel, even Rabbi Shmuel who says that until Bezdin paskins, the Nizik never becomes the animal of the animal never becomes the property of the Nizik, but still, Hamashabdalay the Nizik, he owes the Nizik for the damages. And since he owes the Nizik for the damages, even Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion you have no right to sell the animal. And what that would mean is that if somebody sold the animal, unlike what we learned a few moments ago, and now the Nizik comes to collect it, even according to Rabbi Shmuel, he would be able to say to the person who bought it and used it, you for plowing Luridia, you owe me money for what you did with it. Hegdisha Magdish, but if you magdish it, it's a filler of a kiva. Because now there's a new consideration. Why? Chazal were concerned that people should say that you had something, you were magdish, and now it just was able to leave hegdish without any formal procedure. The Gemara, the Rekiva, this opinion is cited in Masechta Erechin Daf Chof Gimel Amud Beis, where somebody was magdish his assets, and he had a lien on those assets. The halacha is that the people who have that lien should be allowed to take from Hegdish whatever was made Hegdish, because it's something that they had a lien on. Yet the halacha is that they have to go through some redemption process. Shlo yoimru Hegdish yotze b'lo pidyon. Tana rabbanan. Shor tam shehizik. If a short tam does damage, at shlo yoimru b'din, if there was no din tori yet, and the mazik sells it, machra magdish, hegdish magdish. Shachtoi v'nosim matana, or if he shechts it and he gives it away as a gift, masha asa asi. However, mishamim b'din, once there was a din Torah and the shor and he becomes obligated to pay it, machre and a machre, you can't sell it. Hegdisha and a mugdish, you can't be magdishit. Shachtoi v'nosim achim matana v'lasa klum. Kadme b'al chayis v'gbiyoi, if people that the mazik owed money to took this animal, bein chavat shloi hizik, whether that obligation came before this event, bein hizik at shloi chav, or whether this event took place before, loyosav loy klum, they can't take this shor. Lefisha ein mishtam el megufoi. The halacha of a tam is you take it megufoi, and therefore, that's what this animal is supposed to be done with. However, therefore, says the Gemara, but it was a mu'ud that did damage, says the Braisa, bein shami b'din, bein shloim b'din, machroi, the halacha is machr, medishoi mugdish, shachtoi, v'nosim etanim ha'shasa asui, all of the things that the mazik did will be acceptable. The Gemara is going to explain the Braisa, kim b'al chayis v'gbiyoi, Bein chav, bein chav atzlo hizik, bein chizik atzlo chav, it makes no difference what came first, mash asa asu. Fishem shtam elam and aliyah. And now we begin. Amamar, the Braisa said that if the mazik sold the short tam, mocher. Says the Gemara, what does that mean? Laridya. Like we explained before, that if the buyer used this animal for plowing, following the opinion of Shmuel, it's not the property of the Nizik, and the Nizik has no right. The Nizik not could take the animal, he's entitled to the animal, but he can't ask for any payment for that he used. Why does he have a right to be Magdish? Because we just learned the opinion of Ravua, who says that ain't Hegdish shirt to be like pigeon. Shachta v'nosim etanim asha asa asli. Says the Gemara, Bishlama, we understand what was stated, nosna b'matana, masha asa asli. What it means was, l'ridya, that was given to somebody else, and the person who received it used it for plowing. The halacha is he used it for plowing, and now the nizik could take it back, but it has no claim for it. El shachta, but if the mazik went and shechted it, why can't the Nizik take the meat of this animal? The Tanya, the Pasuk says, that the Nizik is entitled to the animal that did the damage when it's alive. However, the Shachta Menayin, if the animal was slaughtered, how do we know that the Nizik could take it? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Shizbi, yes, the Nizik could take this piece of slaughtered meat. Like Nitzrucha, what the Braisa means to tell us is La Pchas Shchita. If the animal goes down in value from when it was alive to where it was slaughtered, that's the Nizik's loss. Amma Rafuna Braid of Shua, does that make sense? So is that the halacha? Zois Ameris. We're learning from here that a Mazik Shibuda Shachaveri, if you have a lien on something, and I do damage to it, potter. Because that's what happened here. The mazik, shechting the meat, shechting this animal, was damaging the animal that the nizik has a lean on. And then when it says pshita, that of course, because zika ba'amahu d'shaklu menach. What did I do? I just took away the animal's life. Av ba'amah l'chayif. Maybe in other situations, he should be chayef, kamash malon. Frek tomorrow, hanami, Rabba Amra. This was already taught. Dama Rabba. Rabba says, if I have documents, IOUs, that you owe me money, and somebody burns those documents, he's potter. Because it's only mazik shibudai. And because those documents don't have inherent value. Says the Gemara, Mada Tema, Hossam, who domale Narba Amakal Miki. All I did, Kalimanach, all I did was burn pieces of paper that don't have inherent value. Avalhecha the Chofa Babar Sichmaris, where somebody did actual damage to a physical asset, property, Lachayev, somebody who damages a property that has mortgaged should be held responsible. Kamashman, the Hocha, because in the case of our Gemara, where the mazik shechs the animal on which the nizik has a lien, so he did real change. It's commander kahafa by baris sichim maris dami, and yet the kamer that mashasa asli the nizik has no claim to the mazik that did this before hamada bedin, before bezin paskin that it became the nizik's.